Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time to Bible Crossfire. One of the things we've been talking about over the last several weeks is how we have to obey God to be saved. And that means that the idea of once saved, always saved is false. We don't become robots when we become a Christian. We have to remain faithful. We see that in a passage like Revelation 2 verse 10 that says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and thou wilt receive a crown of life." The only way to receive the crown of life, go to heaven, is if you're faithful unto death. That implies obedience, faithfulness, and it implies unto death. If you are faithful for a while and then quit being faithful, you won't receive the crown of life. Now, I didn't write that. I know a lot of people don't like it, but God's the one that said it. Revelation 2 verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Jesus talking here. Now that implies that if you're not faithful unto death, you won't receive a crown of life. If you're not obedient to Christ, it's more, you got to do more than just believe in Jesus. You got to follow his teachings. If you're not obedient, you won't receive a crown of life. And if you're not obedient, faithful unto death, if you fall away from the Lord and quit being obedient, even after becoming a Christian, this verse implies conclusively you won't receive a crown of life. You won't go to heaven. That kind of sums up the last two or three or four programs, that you have to be faithful unto death to receive a crown of life. Once saved, always saved is false. If you have a Bible question or comment, the lines are wide open. Call us at 877-655-6755. Again, the number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. I thought we'd talk a little bit now about baptism. Who, what, and why? When we talk about the who on baptism, we're going to talk about whether or not infant baptism is scriptural. When we talk about the what, we're going to talk about whether or not sprinkling for baptism is scriptural or is immersion necessary. And when we talk about the why, we're going to talk about, does one have to be baptized to be saved? Is it just an outward sign of an inward grace, or do you have to be baptized to be saved? We'll discuss that. First, let's talk about infant baptism. And I want to begin by looking at a passage that's indirectly related to the infant baptism topic, and that's Ecclesiastes 18:20. There we read this: "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." There's a doctrine that the Catholics made up, and most of the denominations have swallowed it, hook, line, and sinker, and that is, we call it inherited original sin. That this original sin that Adam committed, partaking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that people it somehow inherit that sin through their parents, like through the father. So that when a baby is born, the baby is born guilty of this original sin. Now, the Catholics invented that doctrine. It's not taught in the Bible. A lot of churches teach it. It's not taught in the Bible. And the Catholic Church let that teaching, that false teaching, lead them to a false practice of infant baptism. They reason that if an infant is born guilty of sin, then if we don't baptize them and they die in their infancy, they'll be lost. So they baptize them to get rid of that inherited original sin. You see how this false doctrine that babies are born inherently sinful, which is contradicts what we just read in Ezekiel 18, led to the false practice of infant baptism to get rid of that sin. But this verse says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father." We do not inherit the guilt of the sin of Adam and Eve. It's the person that sins, he's the one that dies. You don't die spiritually because of somebody else's sin, not Adam's sin or anybody else. Chris from Jacksonville, Florida, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Oh, how are you doing, Mr. Patrick?
How you doing, Chris?
All right. Okay, here's my question. I feel like I have to work in order to maintain my salvation. What is that? What's going on there?
Doesn't the Bible say to work out your salvation with fear and trembling in Philippians chapter 2?
Yeah,
So you're, what's going on there is you're listening to what God says. He says, and I'm turning to Philippians 2 to make sure I got the passage right. He says in Philippians 2 verse 12, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And he's talking to Christians. So Christians, even though they're already saved, they have to continue to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. Okay? In other words, you need to be scared to do, you don't have to be scared of God if you're a Christian. You need to be scared of disobeying God, though. Like with my father, I wasn't scared of my dad as long as I was obeying him. But I was scared of disobeying him. What was going to happen if I disobeyed my father? Was a spanking. What's going to happen with God if you disobey him and die in that condition? Revelation 14:13, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. If you die in that condition, you're going to be lost. We need to be scared out of our britches if we're on our way to the bad place, H-E-L-L. Does that answer your question, Chris?
So is my salvation like works? I mean, am I working my salvation?
Like, your salvation is condition, not earned by. What's the thing that earns your salvation, Chris? What's the thing that earns it?
I would say faith.
No, your faith doesn't earn anything. You don't deserve your salvation just because you believe in Christ. The thing that earns your salvation, the grounds for your salvation, is the death and the blood of Christ. I think we're agreed on that. It's the death of Christ that earns your salvation. Am I right, Chris?
Okay.
Yeah, without the death, it wouldn't matter how much you believe. What are the conditions you have to meet? Though, what are the conditions you have to meet to be saved by the death of Christ? Well, James 2:24 says, you see then how that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. So it's in the, when we're talking about the conditions of salvation, not we're talking about the earning basis or the grounds, it's the death of Christ. It has nothing to do with our faith or our works. The blood of Christ is what pays for our sins. The faith, the trust, and obedience are just the conditions you have to meet to be saved. James 2:24, you're justified by works and not by faith only. It takes trust and obedience, just like that famous hymn says, to be saved by the death of Christ. Go ahead, Chris.
I just don't like this feeling I have, and I got to constantly work to maintain my salvation because I'm like,
did you say you don't like that?
Right.
Yeah, well, I know a lot of people do that, but we're not to go by what we like. If we love Jesus, we're going to go by what he says. And he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if we don't keep his commandments, if we don't work, as you said, that means we don't really love Jesus. So we don't really love Jesus. So if we love Jesus, not only are we going to be work, we're going to be happy to do the work. Because we love Jesus, we're gonna enjoy working. Not to earn our salvation. We don't earn our salvation. But it's a condition of salvation. The difference in earning something and meeting a condition. The conditions are faith and obedience. Go ahead, Chris. I think I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, I think I got you. I think I know it.
Anyway, okay. Let's don't forget that passage. Philippians 2:12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's written to Christians. So even if you're a Christian, you're still expected by God to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You don't have to tremble as long as you're doing what's right. But if you're not living right, as a Christian, you should tremble. Because what awaits you is going to the bad place. Everlasting punishment, Matthew 25:46. You should be so scared that you're going to do what's right. But anyway, we were talking about Ezekiel 18:20. The Catholics inherited original sin. But this verse, it's like God anticipated that false doctrine of the Catholics and put this in the Bible hundreds of years before the Catholic Church was invented by man. It says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him. The wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. If Adam commits wickedness, he's going to pay for his wickedness, not us. So a baby is born without any sin whatsoever. He's born completely innocent. So he doesn't need to be baptized. They don't have any cause for infant baptism because a baby doesn't have any sin to wash away. We see that same thing in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. It says, lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Now, of course, we read in verse 20 of this chapter, there's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So nobody is just. We all sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. But Ecclesiastes 7:29 tells us why. It's not because we're born that way. We're not born sinners. We're not born inheriting the guilt of the sin of Adam. It tells us the reason that we're all sinners. It says that in Ecclesiastes 20, you're all sinners. But why? 29 says, lo, this only have I found, that God hath made men upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Or the newer translations will say, sinful schemes. Now, we're not talking about man, just Adam, because it says he made man upright. That's mankind. How do you know that? Because it says they have sought out many inventions. They, plural, not just one man. It's not saying that God made Adam upright, but he sought out one sinful scheme. God made man, mankind upright, but they, all of us, sought out sinful inventions, schemes. So we're all lost because of our own sin. When God was talking to Adam, even in the garden, Adam and Eve, he said, well, he was actually talking to Adam only at that time. He said, don't eat of this tree, the knowledge of good and evil. If you do, the day you eat, you shall surely die. He didn't say, we're going to die. He said, Adam is going to die if he ate. Die spiritually, separation from God. We read that same thing, except in different words, in Isaiah 59, verse 2. Here's Isaiah 59 to verse 2 says it. He's talking about the Israelites here. In Genesis 2, he's talking to Adam. Here he's talking about the Israelites. He says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. The Israelites' sins separated, their own sins separated them from God. They weren't separated from God by Adam's sin. If they had been separated by Adam's sin, the original sin, then they wouldn't have been separated by their own sin because they'd already been separated. That's what spiritual death is, separation of our soul from God. They were separated from God by their own sin. Infants are born without sin. You're separated from God by your own sin, not inheriting the sin from somebody else. No, they don't need to be baptized. Infant baptism is totally unnecessary. It was invented by the Catholics to solve the problem that they made up out of their own imagination, that infants are born guilty of the original sin of Adam. Now, a lot of churches teach that. People are born sinners, but that's not in the Bible. You should know the Catholic Church made that up, and the Calvinists especially propagated it. The Bible doesn't teach it, though. It's just something the Catholics made up, and they invented infant baptism because of it. But we know that infant baptism is unscriptural. I'm going to a passage like Mark 16, and we'll read there verses 15 and 16. Before I do, read Mark 16. I want you to remember, if you have a Bible question or comment, you can call right now. The number to call is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. Now here's Mark 16, 15 and 16. Now here's how it reads. This is what the Bible says. And he said unto them, that's talking about Jesus, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. Now, 16 is talking about somebody being baptized. But what two things, according to these two verses, does that person have to do before he can be baptized? It says that the gospel has to be preached unto him, verse 15. In other words, he's got to understand the gospel, and he's got to believe the gospel. An infant's not mature enough to understand and believe the gospel. But according to this passage, you have to understand and believe the gospel before you can be baptized. Preach the gospel to this person, and if he believes it, baptize him. He's got to understand it. He's got to believe it. Then he's qualified to be baptized. An infant can't do that. So this passage shows that infant baptism is unscriptural. How about a passage in Acts chapter 8? Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. In Acts chapter 8, verse 6, it says, the people with one accord gave heed unto the things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. The newer translations, like the New King James, will say the multitudes, or the other ones will say crowds. And they're listening to Philip preach, and there's multitudes or crowds. A lot of people here. Enough, a big enough crowd that you would expect that there would be some infants or small children in the audience, especially back then when they didn't have daycare centers. The children were with their parents. There's a big crowd here, a multitude. There's going to be some infants or small children in the crowd. But notice verse 12, who was baptized. It says, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So it's a large enough crowd. There's almost certainly some infants or small children in the crowd, but the only ones that were baptized were men and women. Do you notice that from Acts 8:12? Only men and women. Now, we're not saying you got to be 21 years old to be baptized. Probably they were considered adults back then at 12 years old. But they do have to be old enough to be considered a man or a woman and to believe, because this says in verse 12, but when they believe Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, you have to be old enough, mature enough to believe in Christ. You see that from Acts 8, verse 6 and 12? Infants aren't old enough to believe. They're not mature enough. They're not men and women. Only the men and the women were baptized here. Now let's go later in the chapter to the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. Let me read here in Acts chapter 8, 35 through 37, because this is going to nail it down. If you don't think I've nailed it down yet, that infant baptism is unscriptural, this is going to do it. Here's Acts 8, 35 through 37. It says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So preaching unto him Jesus included something about baptism, because verse 36 says, and as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? The eunuch hears Jesus being preached by Philip and wants to know, hey, here's some water. What's keeping me from being baptized? Verse 37. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered, said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What did Philip mean when he said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest? Mayest what? Mayest be baptized. That's what the eunuch was asking about. Well, that implies, am I right? That implies that if you don't believe, you may not be baptized. And an infant can't believe. He's too immature to believe. So he can't be baptized. When I debate with the Catholics and the Presbyterians on infant baptism, this is the first verse I turn to because it's so clear. If you believe, you may be baptized. Acts 8:37, implying that if you don't believe, you may not be baptized. An infant can't believe. He's not mature enough. So this verse proves conclusively that infant baptism is unscriptural. Doesn't matter that the Catholic Church baptizes infants or the Methodists or the Presbyterians. None of that matters. It doesn't matter how many people do it. The Bible teaches against it. We're obligated to follow Christ in what he says. He said, as I mentioned earlier in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. You are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. People talk about having a relationship with Jesus. You don't have a relationship with Jesus unless you're doing what he commands. Infant baptism is unscriptural. If you have a Bible question or comment about that, we'd love to hear from you. The number to call is 877-655-6755. And of course, the next thing, sprinkling for baptism. I have on my outline here some definitions for the Greek word baptizo, not defining per se the English word baptism, but the Greek word that's translated into baptism, baptizo. And I have three Bible dictionaries at my house. Now, they're defining the Greek words here, not the English word, the Greek word. Thayer says baptizo means immersion, submersion. W. Vine says it means immersion, submersion, and emergence to dip. And Wigram Green, my other Bible dictionary here, says it means to immerse. So if you know, you're reading a book and you don't know what a word means, you look it up in the dictionary. We look up the word baptizo in the dictionary, we find out it means to immerse. So if you know what the definition for the word baptizo is, you'll know that baptism should be immersion, not sprinkling or pouring. Billy from Alabama, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please. Go ahead, Billy.
I'm not real sure how to say this, but from my understanding, If I sin and fall out of grace, after being saved, I'm no longer saved.
Right. Galatians 5:4 says you are, these people were trying to bind the old law, says you are fallen from grace. It's like falling from a tree. You're in a tree, you fall from a tree, you're not in the tree anymore. You're in salvation, you fall from salvation, you're not saved anymore. You fall from grace, you're not saved anymore. Go ahead, Billy.
So do I get saved again?
You can come back to the Lord. Let me read to you a passage that helps us to see that very, very clearly. Do you have your Bible handy, Billy? Here's how James 5:19-20 reads. You listening? says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So here's a brother in Christ. The New King James says, if he wanders from the truth, a little child wanders from the house. That means he was at the house and he left the house. So here's a brother that wanders from the truth. That means he was in the truth. He left the truth. Now the passage is saying it's up to us to try to convert him back. If we convert him back, Billy, it says we save his soul from death. Now that means if we're not successful in converting him back, so say he refuses to be converted back, his soul's going to die. And it goes on to say, if we convert him back, we'll hide a multitude of sins. If he does not convert him back, his soul's going to die and his sins won't be covered. Does that sound like he's going to be saved anyway, Billy?
Well, the book teaches me that we all sin daily and fall short of the glory of God.
Right. So, but you can
There's
repent
none.
Of those sins.
There was one perfect. None of us are perfect. So
wow,
we're
that's,
all,
that's
nobody,
exactly
nobody
what I'm
saved.
Saying.
Nobody's
nope.
saved.
No, that's not what I'm saying. This says, no, let's
yeah,
look at the
because
Bible
if you sin, you're not saved, is what you're telling me.
Billy, I'm not telling you this. This is what God is saying. Look what it says in James 5, 19, 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one converting, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. I didn't say that. God said that. You save if you're able. That's your original question. A person falls away,
and
he loses his salvation.
That's why I ask forgiveness each and every day. Every
can
night,
he,
every day.
Can
10,
he come back?
Day.
Can he come back to the Lord? The answer is yes. If he comes back to the Lord, his soul will be saved from death. The implication is if he refuses to come back to the Lord, his soul will die. He'll be lost. I didn't write that, Billy. That's what God says. So it's clear. We know for 100% sure that a person can lose his salvation if he falls away. We know that's taught dozens and dozens of times in the Bible, and not one single verse ever teaches this idea of once saved, always saved. That was made up by wishful thinking, Billy. Wishful thinking. People want to be able to
okay,
say,
so because I'm,
hold on. Hey, they want to be able to say, I can live the way I want to live and still be saved. That's just wishful thinking. The Bible doesn't say that. Now, whatever question you're going to ask me, Billy, why don't you ask it to God? Because he's the one that said you could lose your salvation. So whatever question, you should be asking God, not me. If you want to argue with God, argue with him. My job is just to tell you what God says. If you want to argue with it, that means you're arguing with God. So you should probably pray a prayer to God and argue with him and say, God, I don't think a person can lose his salvation. You should take that out of the Bible. Now, I'm being facetious here, aren't I, Billy? Just making the point that you're arguing with God, with the Bible. When you argue on this point, I'm giving you the verses.
So there's nobody saved. Because
everybody sins.
Don't tell me there's perfect people in the world.
Okay, Billy, we talked about at the beginning of the program, Revelation 2:10 says, be thou faithful unto death, and thou wilt. You will see, I will give you a crown of life. So there are a lot of people saved. All the people that are faithful unto death will be saved. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Jesus said that. So when you say, so nobody's saved, you're arguing with Revelation 2:10. It says, yes, there are a lot of people that are going to be saved. All the ones that are faithful unto death. But all the ones that are not faithful.
You're giving me?
All the ones that are not faithful unto death will not receive a crown of life. That's clear. Revelation 2:10. Now, while we're in Revelation, chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus said, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. So Jesus is saying, if you overcome temptation, I won't blot your name out of the book of life. Well, your name, to be in the book of life, you had to be saved to start with, but the possibility is your name can be blotted out if you're not faithful. If you don't overcome temptation, your name will be blotted out. That means you were saved in the book of life. Now your name's blotted out. You're not in the book of life anymore. You lost your salvation because you didn't overcome temptation. All the people that are faithful unto death will be saved. It's not that nobody will be saved, like Billy said. All of these people who are faithful unto death will be saved, will receive a crown of life. But the ones that aren't faithful to death will not receive a crown of life. That's the implication from Revelation 2:10 and these other passages. If you would like to have a free 1-hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience, call or text me at 256-682-9753. free one-hour phone Bible study with me at your convenience, 256-682-9753.